leaning heavily on two friends, all he has left after 9 years in radio, the old boy totters to the microphone. He... Stand him right there, fellas. Here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Excuse me, I'm a little hard of hearing. I didn't hear anything. But, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And for your information, Mr. Von Zell, I am not wobbling, nor am I shaking. Nor am I. I'm from Boston. You get the grammar, the grammatical inference there. I am here chock-a-block full of business, Harry. This is our last program, as you probably know.
That's right, Fred. We've come to the end of another year.
Oh, have you got the new summer program all set, Harry?
Yes, we're going to have two shows in this hour, Fred.
Ooh, a double feature, huh? Radio has finally come to that.
Yes,
huh?
Sir. Abbott and Costello will have the first half, and then Mr. District Attorney will take the last half hour.
That sounds like a perfect 60 minutes, Harry. Well, with these new programs coming in next week, you know, I think that we, out of fairness to all concerned, I think that we should get busy and finish up our business around here. We ought to sweep out the studio, balance the books, you know, leave things nice and tidy. But say, what about your commercials, Harry? Have you any product mentions, you know, left over from during past year?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have them marked down right here,
Fred. The things you didn't do, what are they?
Well, Wednesday, December 20th, 1939... you talked too long, and I had one mention of sal hepatica and two ipanas left over.
You did? You had them left over, did you?
Yeah. Then February 14th this year, I was one excess gastric acidity short.
I see.
I don't know what this...
Can you read it? Oh,
yeah.
You can read it.
The night the eagle got loose.
Yeah.
I left out chases that sickish feeling fast.
Yes. Well, is that all? Fortunately, the eagle isn't here to hear how he's going. He would be very depressed. Well, is that all you have,
Harry?
Well,
that's all I have, Fred.
Yes. Well, all right. You show a deficit. A little line that wasn't there. I didn't see it as I looked. But you show a deficit of one sal hepatica, two ipanners, one excess gastric acidity, and the other...
One chases that sickish feeling fast.
All right. Now, can you rattle those off?
Sure. Sal hepatica, ipana, chases that sickish feeling fast, excess gastric acidity.
Well, fine. That balances your books, Harry. You're all nice. Your house is in order for the summer. Now, what about you, Maestro Van Steeden? Have you got any fanfares outstanding?
No, but I've got two bars of Tippy Tippy Tin left over from last fall.
You have? Well, let's have them.
You bet.
I don't know when I have enjoyed a number of yours so much. Well, I hope that straightens you out, Pete. Now you can creep back into the big bass pile and
Well, Fred, look, how about you? Have you got any jokes left over?
Now, wait a minute. You see if he gets a reception as he goes away. The power. What did you say, Harry?
We've checked up on Pete and myself here. How about you? Did you have any jokes left over?
Well, only one, Harry. Last week we were running a little too long. I had to leave out one joke.
Well, what was it?
Well, it was sort of a conundrum or a riddle, Harry. Why did Dorothy L'Amour stand up all through her last picture, Typhoon?
I'll bite. Why?
Because the laundry put starch in her sarong. Well? Well, that finishes me.
Yes, Yes, that it closes our books with a dull thud, Fred.
Which the sound man didn't have to give us. And now that everything is ready for Abbott and Costello and Mr. District Attorney, we turn to the latest news of the week. That's fanfare. That's a used fanfare.
Could we
have a new fanfare?
That was the best one we've had this season.
No, he's got the cornet too far down in his throat now, Pete. Now, wait a minute. That's more like it. Anywhere, I hate to be heard on the air with untidy fanfares. People talk around, and if there's anyone should blow, it's the cornet player, and he's not doing it. Anywhere in America, June 21st, the first day of summer arrives to officially open the beach and resort season. As white-collar workers plan their vacations and tourist exodus begins, Ipana News scoops life and PM and interviews several outstanding nobodies who plan unique vacations. Now first, a man whose holiday trips haven't varied for many years, Mr. Dunstan Delf. You take the same vacation each summer, do you, Mr. Delf?
Yes, sir. I made my mother a promise.
You made your mother a promise? Well, how does that affect your vacation?
Well, the night my mother passed away, she called me to her bedside.
And?
My mother said, Dunstan, before I die, promise me you'll see the Thousand Islands.
And you?
I made my mother a promise. Then she passed away.
And on your next vacation?
I left for the Thousand Islands.
Fine.
I saw one island a day. At the end of my 2 weeks, I'd seen 14 islands.
What year was that, Dunstan?
1910.
1910.
I've been spending my vacation at the Thousand Islands ever since.
You've been going to the Thousand Islands for 30 years?
I made my mother a promise.
You are an obedient son.
I'm a good boy.
Well, tell me, how many of the Thousand Islands have you seen, Mr. Delf?
For 30 years, I saw 14 islands every year.
Yes?
That's 420 islands.
Well, bully for you.
I only got 580 to go. I'll be 102 years old when I finish.
And then at last you'll be through.
No, I'll have 6 islands left over.
It doesn't come out even, huh? Well, thank you very much, Mr.
I made my mother a promise.
I'll tell her when she comes in.
Well, promise me that someday.
Thank you. We enjoy it. There wasn't a request.
I made my mother.
I know, but if it... And thank you, Mr. Dunstan Delf. Now, a man who uses his vacation for a unique purpose is Mr. Bolivar Cram. What is your vacation pleasure, Mr. Cram?
Well, me and the wife is gluttons, see?
You're gluttons?
Yeah.
You both like to eat, do you?
Ruddock, and we pack it in.
Yes, you look
I got a stomach like an incinerator.
And your wife is over buxom, too?
Look, if Minnie was all wet and laying down, you couldn't tell her from a hippopotamus.
Well, tell me, what, shall I, do you want to... You want to pull up a chair and wait for your laugh, or do you just... Well, tell me about, Mr. Cram, about your vacation. What do you and your wife do?
We eat, brother.
You eat, huh?
Yeah. We travel around the country and just pack it in.
Well, where does this calorie caravan of yours start?
Well, our first stop is Joe's Diner on Route 1. Boy, does Joe whip up a hamburger. He fries them in puma fat.
I imagine they're very tasty.
Oh,
if you can...
very good.
Well, what's next?
Well, after 3 days packing in them hamburgers, Minnie and me buzz down to Manuel's in El Paso for that chili.
Chili, huh? Is it good?
It's celestial swill, brother. Yes, sir. And can Minnie and me slop it up?
Well, you must be pretty full by now.
Oh, no. Now we go in for some serious eating. We cut down south for a couple of days of fried chicken, up to Minneapolis for that smoke support.
Yeah.
You know. And then back down to New Orleans for that bully bushy.
You mean that French dish, the bouillabaisse?
Yeah, bullabushy.
You're using the night school translation, I
yeah. And then we drive back to Idaho for a couple of days of them big baked potatoes.
Yes, Idaho potatoes are pretty large, aren't they?
Some of them potatoes is like eating moccasins full of Indians' feet. Yeah, certainly big. Yeah, me and Minnie have melted up plenty of butter and squirted on them spuds with flip guns.
You too.
Oh, brother... That's eating.
Oh, well, what happens when you're through in Idaho?
Well, Minnie and me climb into the Greyhound and puffing and piping, we're awful.
And your vacation is over?
Yeah. After all that eating, I'm pretty swelled up,
but... And your wife?
Minnie's in the same bloat.
Some stuff, and thank you, Mr. Bolivar Craft. Owner of a popular resort who gives her opinion of the summer outlook for the coming season. I didn't get your name, madam.
Mrs. Hershkovitz.
Mrs. Hershkovitz?
The first name is Blossom. Blossom Hershkovitz.
Blossom Hershkovitz. And your summer resort is?
Hershkovitz is by the wee Hungarian hacienda.
The name is euphonious.
Oh, especially in July and August.
Oh, I could imagine. There are no R's in those months, which would be a great help. Now, what is the secret of making a summer hotel a success, Mrs. Hershkovitz?
Well, first, a hotel should be handy but secluded.
Yes.
If it's not too far, still withal adjacent.
Oh, you have hit the nail on the head. Excuse me for so saying.
Uh-huh.
And you're... And you coincide, do you?
Uh-huh.
There is the other side beside the coincide, you know. There is the Ginsburg side. And your hotel, Mrs. Hershkovitz, is centrally located.
What else? It's 2 miles from Cohen's Canyon.
Yes.
1 mile from Nussbaum's Notch.
Oh, yes.
And a short walk from Pincus's Pines.
Well, location helps, but you are really the one who makes your place a success, Blossom.
Oh, stop it, silly dilly. Blossom is blushing.
Oh. Nevertheless, your touch is what makes Hershkovitz's hacienda the success it is today. What is your secret?
This I'm explaining in my poem. Each guest is getting a copy.
A poem about your hotel?
Oh, shucks, you are worming it out of me.
Unfortunately, yes. Well, what is your poem called?
Hershkovitz is by the wee Hungarian hacienda.
Fine. Rondelay style, huh? Well, will you recite it for us?
Thank you.
So nice of you.
Come to Hershkovitz hacienda with stucco front and big veranda, where high maki-makis each summer hasten, $2 a room, $2.50 with basin. Their cooking is the best cuisine, the chef, the famous Pierre Levine. Borscht du jour, Pierre is cooking, butter served if no one's looking. Swimming, boating, hiking, dancing, evening dress with fancy pantsing. Polo, lip frog, postcard writing, for fishermen immer the gefilters biting. So, kiddies, if you will relax, Shirley, Sadie, Irving, Max, let your hair down, make with the Ritz. Mark Schnell to the Hungarian hacienda established 1892, proprietor Blossom Hershkovitz.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Blossom. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Macs, who are currently appearing at Victor Hugo's Cafe, rush over between courses to sing for us The Little Red Barn. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present a thrilling episode in the life of that fascinating adventurer, that 20th century buccaneer, Harry Glamour Boy Von Zell. The scene, Hollywood's Wilshire Boulevard. The time, 1 hour ago.
Oh, when the dawn breaks in the east, I love you. When the birdlings wake and cry, I love you.
Pull over there, you!
Well, officer, is anything wrong?
No, just a little matter of a speed limit, a red light, and a boulevard stop.
Well,
but they promise me you won't let it worry you.
Well, look, officer, I'm sorry if I was a little careless, but you see, I was hurrying. I was hurrying along in a sort of a, well, sort of an errand of mercy.
Yeah, I'll bet. Was it to make a fourth at bridge, maybe?
No. I'm on my way to the Fred Allen program to tell millions of people over the radio what to do when they feel headachy and sluggish and under the weather.
Yeah? What, for instance?
You just put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it.
How do you figure that?
Well, Sal Hepatica helps a person feel his best again faster, you see, because this famous saline acts so quickly in two ways. First, as a laxative, Sal Hepatica is speedy yet exceptionally gentle.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter Van Steeden and his Malibu Melodiers. Have just kept a musical appointment with my best girl. And now, ladies and gentlemen, hello, Portland.
Hello. I just stopped in to say goodbye.
Well, who is going away?
This is your last program, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, you're going away and I'm going away. That's why I came to say goodbye.
Well, goodbye. Unless you've got something devilishly clever to say.
No, I only have what's written down here.
Well, that won't help much, I guess, from the looks of it. Tell me, where are you going for your vacation?
Mama's taking me to a dude ranch.
A dude ranch? Mm-hmm. That's sort of a rodeo at ease, isn't it? What is the name of... You know what Benny would do with a joke like that? He'd get 13 more weeks if he had it. Well, boy, you're going to a dude ranch, eh? What's the name of the ranch?
It's the Bar None. It's up in the High Sierras.
The High Sierras, huh?
That's a mountain near here.
I guess that's what started Pike's Peak, looking at the High Sierras, huh? Well, really, what is the... Now, quiet. If we can't have quiet, we'll go someplace else. Have to stay here with it. you're going up to the High Sierras. What is the altitude there?
Oh, they were very nice to us.
No, Gracie. I mean, how high is it up?
It's pretty high. Mama went to pull a comforter off the bed last night. And it was a cloud.
It was. The comforter was a cloud. Imagine that. Well, isn't it cold sleeping up there?
Oh, you don't mind it. They keep an Indian sitting outside of every room.
What has the Indian got to do with the heating system?
If you need a blanket during the night, you get up and take it off the Indian.
I guess if you need a clean sheet, they have a ghost running around the attic. Well, enough about high spirits. Now, wait a minute. There's a joke there. Now, let's get this straight. It says here, what about a ghost in the attic? And then it said high spirits. Now, you can't get a spirit any higher than the attic unless you put him in the belfry, and most people keep their bats in the belfry. I mean, you don't want to crowd people's bats to put an old used spirit. Well, what about our guest, Portland?
Have you seen any of the girls' teams play softball here in Hollywood?
Well, no, but I hear they're exceptional. Now, don't tell me that our guest tonight is one of these lady ball players.
That's right. In the Los Angeles Examiner Sports Poll last year, she was voted the outstanding girl baseball player in California.
And she's coming to the plate now?
Yes. Mr. Allen's niece, Miss Kay Rohrer.
Well, good evening, Miss Rohrer.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
I must say that you appear to be rather young to be an outstanding athlete, Miss Rohrer. How old are you, may I ask?
I'll be 18 next Saturday.
18. And how long have you been active as a debutante DiMaggio?
I've been playing ball 4 years.
You're in your senior year, then, aren't you? Well, I don't, you belong to all the paternities, but I don't know much about softball, Miss Rohrer. I know it's very popular around the country, but I've never seen the game played. Is it practically the same as baseball?
Yes.
Wait a minute, we're bringing down the house. You hear me? Doesn't expect to be here permanently. The pictures fall in, you know, as they're going along. Was that your bridge work, Pete? I know it wasn't money, because nobody in the band has any. Well, tell me, I'll give you that line again, Miss Rohrer. That'll stop you from ad-libbing and upsetting everything, you know. Well, is softball the same as baseball, is it?
Yes, except that the pitcher throws the ball underhand, and the field is a little shorter than the regulation diamond.
Oh. Do all the girls take the game seriously, or do they occasionally get the giggles in the middle of a double play?
The girls don't get time to giggle once the game starts. We've got to be on our toes every minute.
Wait a minute. Now, no ventriloquism, Uncle Jim. roar his line, and she's going to read it. All right, now let's start again. I'll give you the cue now. Or do they occasionally get the giggles in the middle of a double play?
The girls don't get time to giggle once the game starts. We've got to be on our toes every minute.
Ah, you see? You had a little trouble getting up on your toes there, didn't you? But at 18, it shouldn't be difficult. Now, doesn't the feminine instinct ever assert itself at a crucial point in the play?
How do you mean, Mr. Allen?
Well, you know, does the shortstop ever stop to powder her nose and miss a pop fly? Does the catcher ever take time out to make a rumber appointment with the umpire?
I should say not. The girls concentrate on the game at all times.
Well, tell me, what is the average attendance at one of your all-girl softball games?
We play to around 3,000 people a night.
3,000 paid admissions. You know, they have a society girls team at Newport, but they only play to the 400. They're losing money right and left. But about your teams here, what are they called? Do they have feminine names, the Giantesses or the Dodgerettes, names like that, do they?
No. Each of the softball teams here is named after its sponsor.
Oh, you have sponsors, do you? Softball is similar to radio, isn't it?
Yes. Our teams are sponsored by service stations, department stores, and other business firms.
And all of you girls have daytime jobs with your companies and then play ball at night.
That's right.
Well, who sponsors your team, Miss Rora?
Bank of America Club.
Oh, the bank takes an interest in you girls, which makes it unanimous. Well, does the bank is your... quiet, please. We're doing... Does the bank, as your sponsor, Miss Rora, does the bank make you run around the outfield yelling commercials? You know, like, you run by and yell up to the bleachers, "Don't get your money any old place, folks. Get it at the Bank of America. Don't get your money any old place." Do you have to plug the bank's product, do you?
No, Mr. Allen. As long as I handle my work properly, the bank is satisfied.
Well, still, a sponsored ball team must have its tribulations. Do any of the teams ever lose 5 or 6 games in a row and suddenly find themselves on sustaining?
No. No, we don't have that trouble.
Oh, how lucky you are. You know, a few bad shows in radio, and the actors are apt to show up as guests on a quiz program. But tell me, what is the average age of the girl players?
Well, most of the girls are about 18. The youngest players are 14, and the oldest girls in the league are about 25.
25. Are all of the girls single?
Oh, no. Some of the girls are married and have children.
Yeah, right. Well, do any of the children ever leave flowers on first base for their mothers on Mother's Day? Does a mother ever have to run in from left field to make a sacrifice for her baby in the dugout?
I've never seen these things happen yet, Mr. Allen.
Oh, well, look, now, if a baby started crying during a game, wouldn't 4 balls from Junior mean a walk for the mother?
I'm afraid that would be up to the umpire or the baby's father.
I see. Well, as California's leading softball player, Miss Rora, what is your batting average at the moment?
It's about 340.
340, that's fine. You know, if you were batting 340 in the National League, you would have been hit on the head by an opposing pitcher weeks ago. But with your average, I take it, in your league here, you must find the pitchers easy to hit.
No, some of them give me plenty of trouble.
Well, I should think all girl pitchers would be harder to hit than men pitchers. The girls, after all, have better curves. And still, in a squeeze play, I should imagine it would be more interesting catching a girl.
Not to another girl, it isn't.
Oh. I sense the turnabout. We're plugging the new picture. I sense the subtlety of your rejoinder. Now, but about softball, what has been the highlight of your career?
It was the trip I took to the Orient 2 years ago.
Really? You went with an all-star girls team, did you?
Yes. Our manager, Marty Fiedler, selected a group of us to tour Japan, China, and the Philippines.
And you played the girls' teams in the Far East?
Nope. We played men's teams, and we beat most of them, too.
Really? You did, huh?
In the Philippines, we played the American Navy team.
Sailors, hey? Must have been gobs of fun. That's a joke we rented from Bob Hope for the night. We have to have it dry cleaned and have it back by 11 o'clock. Well, how did the game come out?
We beat them so badly, the boys went back to their boat and they didn't get off for 2 days.
They didn't. You beat the tar out of them, huh? Well, something tells me you get a kick out of playing ball, Miss Rora.
I sure do, and all of us are crazy about the game.
Well, I'm sure if the other girls are as winsome and as pretty as you are, they're a credit to the game and to California as well.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
And thank you, Miss Rora. You know, for two people in totally different professions, I think that we got along splendidly.
Yes. Radio isn't much like baseball, is it, Mr. Allen?
Well, I should say not. In baseball, a bad swing produces a foul ball. And in radio, we have Peter Van Steeden.
Peter Van Steeden?
Yes, Peter Van Steeden is a foul ball producing bad swing.
Good night, Mr.
Good
Allen.
Night, and thank you very much, Miss Kay Rora. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Betty Jane Rhodes is sort of absent-minded, absent-minded debutante. She's coming out for the third time on our program. Tonight, Betty Jane, could I be of any help? You just say the word. I beg your pardon.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
You're entirely welcome. I helped, for those sitting at home awaiting the arrival of television, I would say I just helped Miss Rhodes with the music stand. You're very gallant of me and surprising. I didn't think I could make it, to be quite frank. But tonight, Betty Jane Rhodes comes to the microphone to sing You Can't Brush Me Off. We have with us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a man who is a victim of an acute conscience, and he wants to tell us how it works out. How about it, Mr. Brown?
Well, it's this way, Mr. Allen. I've been listening to this program for some time, and I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it, too. I guess now I'm one of your foremost boosters.
Well, there's no harm in that, Mr. Brown. But why does your conscience hurt you?
Well, I realize that having had so much fun listening to this show, the least I could do was buy the products it sponsors.
Well, there's no law says you must, you know.
Well, I know, but I felt that I should. So I went out, bought a bottle of South Hepatica, put it away in the medicine chest, and never gave it another thought.
Oh, boy. Harry Von Zell will be pretty cross when he hears about that, Mr. Brown.
Well, he ought to be. Week after week, he's been recommending Sal Hepatica when you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and sluggish. But do I take his tip?
Of our program tonight have been released to bring you last-minute news flashes from the Republican convention. We're not going to have time to have our question of the week discussion. The Republican Party, apparently, is settling its question of the week at this time instead. And now the Merrimacks, who are still at Victor Hugo's, 40 minutes later, mind you, sing a request for the head waiter, who is now in the kitchen with his portable, the song, Oh, Susanna. Thank you. Just had a wire come in. Victor Hugo's is still there. The Merrimacks are here. They'll get together later in the evening. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a little expose of a big business. For tonight, we take you behind the scenes of radio and give you intimate glimpses of its stars with their hair down, those who have hair. Now, first, the musician at home.
Hey, listen, ma'am. That trumpet play you think is so hot is strictly station house. If I couldn't swing better than he can, I'd be in Van Steeden's cornfield. Get this.
Next, the radio announcer at home.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, hello, toots. Your husband is brought to you through the courtesy of the Easy Does It Washing Powder Company. Makers of Easy Does It Washing Powder. Easy does it easy because...
Oh, for goodness sake, Cecil, pipe down, will you?
You too can pipe down. Why, do you realize that you're talking to Cecil McStation Brake, the great announcer? What has anyone got? What has even Harry Von Zell got that I haven't?
Well, for one thing, he has something worth talking about, and he's very sincere about it. You'd learn a lot if you only listened to him some Wednesday night when he says...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the next time you buy a dentifrice, remember this. Of all the dentifrices on sale today...
Peter Van Steeden and his Van Steedenolians have just given you a digest version of My. And now the mighty Alan Art players. This is the first little theater group to ever have a bath soap endorsed them. Now, tonight they present another radio travesty called Us the People Speak. All the reason the lights went out in the studio was because the announcer forgot to put in his plug. Over to you, Peter.
And so, as our program ends, we leave the mechanical robot with his iron hands slowly crushing Superman's throat. With Tailspin Tommy holding Superman's face in that twirling airplane propeller, and Buck Rogers disintegrating Superman from the hips down, things look pretty bad for Superman. Hey, kiddies? You bet. Well, good night. And happy nightmares, kiddies.
This is station KRUM, folks. We regret to announce that the watch company that formerly sponsored the correct time has gone bankrupt. The watch company can no longer buy time to bring you the time. When you hear the signal, your guess as to the correct time will be as good as ours. It is now exactly, or something or other past, or not quite, 1:00.
And now, station KRUM presents...
Us, the People Speaks. Yes, Us, the People Speaks. The program where real people tell real stories to real people listening in. Hear real heroes tell their real adventures. This is your program, folks. Tune in. You may be on tonight when Us, the People Speaks.
Us, the People Speaks comes to you through the courtesy of Murphy's Mess, the tasty sandwich spread. The only sandwich spread that really spreads a sandwich. Try the Murphy 10-second test.
Here's all you have to do. Lift up the top of your sandwich. Slop 2 plops of Murphy's Mess on the bottom of the spread. Replace the top slice. Count 10. If the spread has eaten a hole through the sandwich and the top of your table is a mess, it's Murphy.
And now, we present our genial host of Us the People, Mr. Labial Teeter.
Thank you, Phil. Good evening, friends. This is Labial Teeter bringing you thrilling real-life problems and dramas that go to make up the everyday lives of Us the People. Our first case tonight, one of the strangest ever brought to you on this program, will be explained by Dr. Erasmus Wintz, senior psychologist at Peo Clinic, Dr. Wintz.
3 months ago, a little man was found in a revolving door of the 5-and-10-cent store. He was wearing cerise pajamas. His mind was a blank.
He didn't know who he was?
No, he didn't. He didn't even remember his name. He doesn't know to this day who he is. Medical science has given up. As a last resort, we appeal to you, Mr. Teeter, through your radio program, to help this unfortunate man learn his identity.
What do you call him around the clinic, Dr. Wintz?
Mr. Q.
Mr. Q. Thank you. Mr. Q, thank you. Folks, you have just heard Dr. Erasmus Wintz's strange story. Mr. Q is here in our very own studio tonight. Us the People is offering a $5,000 reward to anyone who can identify this unfortunate victim of amnesia. Listen to Mr. Q's voice. He may be a relative. He may be a friend. You may win $5,000. And now, Mr. Q, will you come to our microphone? You poor chap.
Who am I? That's what's baffling me.
We're going to try to help you, Mr. Q.
Who am I? That's what's baffling
well,
me.
I know. That is what...
Did you ever see me before?
No.
Then how do you know it's me?
I don't. Who are you?
That's it. Who am I? That's what's baffling me.
Well, you may be a lawyer.
No.
Yes, you may. I doubt it, but you may. A few legal phrases may bring something back to you, Mr. Q.
No.
Now listen. Listen carefully, Mr. Q. Now, don't listen to yourself. Listen to me. Let us have that understood. Listen carefully. Habeas corpus, nisi prius, ipso facto.
Habeas corpus, ipso facto, nigger.
Do these terms awaken a forensic past?
No.
Do you ever remember climbing out from under an ambulance?
No.
You can't be a lawyer.
No.
Well, you may be a famous doctor, Mr. Q.
Yeah.
Try these. Listen intently, quietly. Metacarpus, dementia praecox. $2, please.
The metacarpus, dementia praecox. Who am I? That's what's baffling me.
Well, it's no use. If you sit down...
I just got a clue.
Yes?
I ain't got no horse with me.
No.
I can't be the Lone Ranger.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Now, if you'll just sit down, we'll come back to you later, Mr. Q.
Who am I? That's what's baffling.
You have just heard Mr. Q, folks. I don't know Please, please don't applaud. He won't appreciate it. He doesn't know who he is. Please don't. He's incognito mentally. Us the people, you have heard, Mr. Q, folks. Us the people offers $5,000 to the lucky listener who can identify it. Do you know Mr. Q? Phone this studio. Win $5,000. Us the people speaks. While we wait for your messages to pour in, folks, we welcome our next guest to Us the People, Miss Prudy McGee.
Of the Pasadena McGees.
Of the Pasadena McGees.
And I don't mean Glendale, mister.
Thank you very much. What is your story, Prudy?
Well, to start at the beginning, I'm a shisher in a donut shop.
A shisher in a donut shop?
Yeah, if a customer's too noisy dunking, I step over and shish him.
Oh. Very good.
Well, you know, some people is pretty noisy with their dunking.
So I've heard.
They slurp like there was empty in a hot water bag.
Oh, man.
Well, I just say, shush, bud, and kind of a soggy quiet sets in.
Are you happy in your work?
Nah, it's depressing. You know, the splashing and looking at wet donut ends.
Oh.
Well, it's been getting on me nerves. So going down Main Street last night, I start talking to myself. I says, Prudy, I says, you're getting in a rut.
You wanted to advance, you minx.
Yeah. Well, I seen a gypsy tea room, and the sign says, get hep, learn your future, and a 10-course dinner, 35 cents.
And you went in?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to keep the dinner on me stomach when the gypsy Astralita comes over.
To read your fortune?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Astralita starts feeling me teabag.
Astralita? Astralita was a tannic phrenologist?
Yeah. She gives the wet bag a feel, and she says...
Continue, please.
She says, I see a change. A tall, dark, handsome man is proposing marriage.
Yes?
Before I can get the tall, dark, handsome guy's name, a cop busts in. Astralita's pinched for mopery or something.
And you don't know your lover's name?
And he don't know mine, neither.
That's why you're here tonight.
Yeah, I'm going on 40. This is my last chance. I'm broadcasting my name and address, folks.
I'm sorry, that's not allowed
this
in radio.
This is Prudy McGee. If
you
you're tall, dark, and handsome, the phone number is Pasadena 1234.
You are
I've
not...
got blue eyes, a loving, slightly used...
You are not allowed to send the Us the People speaks.
You rat.
I ain't got no southern accent, I can't be Caucasian.
Oh, there are a lot of people you can't be.
I'm closing in on myself, ain't I?
Yes, you are. Now, if you'll just sit down.
Who am I? That's what's baffling me.
Remember, folks, if you know Mr. Q, call this station and win the $5,000 reward. And now, Us the People brings you a one of nature's peccadilloes. A young hillbilly boy who was caught in a possum trap in the little town of Scurvy, Tennessee. He is known as nature's faux pas, and here he is, Chad Watson. What is your story, Chad boy?
My name is Chad Watson. When I was born, my ma looked at my pa and said, oh, yeah? The next day, they wrote Sears Roebuck for a divorce.
Did your father and mother raise you, Chad?
Yeah, they raised me over a fence and dropped me into a swamp.
You poor boy.
For 20 years, I lived among the skunks, the weasels, and the bog snakes. My only friend was a water moccasin.
Well, tell me, Chad, how did you live in the swamp?
I ate acorns.
Just acorns?
Yes, sir. For 20 years, I ate acorns. I'm still eating acorns.
How do you feel?
Oak.
Hasn't eating acorns bothered you in any way?
Only my teeth. Look.
Well, your teeth are wooden.
Yes.
You look like a man who is trying to spit out a xylophone.
It's from eating acorns. I got xylophone teeth.
Well, are your teeth in tune?
Yes, I'll play something for you.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Watson, the hillbilly boy who has eaten nothing but acorns for 20 years, and as a result, his teeth have turned to two octaves of xylophone slats. Now, he's going to play a short solo on his molar marimba phone. What is your selection, Chad boy?
Yankee Doodle.
Go right ahead, Chad. wasn't that last note a little flat?
That tooth's got a cavity.
I see. Us the people speaks.
The high master.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Q, have you another clue?
I ain't in Philadelphia. I can't be a Republican.
No, you can't.
I ain't got oomph. I can't be Ann Sheridan.
No, now if you'll just...
Who am I?
Trying to find out, Mr. Q. If you'll just sit down.
No, I'm going to find out right now.
Well, you'll have to get away from this microphone.
No, I'm not. Quit shoving.
I say you're getting away from this...
Look out.
Look out. The microphone's falling.
Oh, my head.
Look at that lump.
Who am I? What's going on here?
Why, you're on Us the People Speaks. You're on the air.
On the air? What am I doing on a radio program?
You're Mr. Q, the amnesia victim, remember?
Amnesia victim? Preposterous!
No one knows who you are.
Why, that's ridiculous. Everyone knows who I am. I am...
Just a minute, Mr. Q. Before you tell us who you are, Us the People offered a $5,000 reward to learn your identity. Since you are going to tell us yourself, here is our certified check for
$5,000. $5,000? What is this? Let me out.
Stop him, somebody. Catch him.
Hello, Mr. Taylor.
You bring him back here, officer.
There he is, Mr. Taylor.
Unhand me, you. My lawyer will attend to this.
Just a minute. You came to Us the People with amnesia, Mr. Q.
Stop calling me Mr. Q. Do you know who I am?
That's what we're trying to find out. Who are you?
I'm Bradley Brindle.
Bradley? Bradley Brindle? The millionaire ladyfinger magnet?
Yes, the very same.
But you disappeared 3 months ago.
Yes, I remember now. I disappeared on the morning of March 15th. I was up all night figuring out my income tax, surtaxes, exemptions, excess profits, undistributed liabilities.
Yes?
I went mad. My mind became a blank. I must have wandered out into the street in my cerise pajamas.
And then?
Well, that's all I remember until now.
Until Us the People brought you to your senses.
Yes.
Since you have identified yourself, Mr. Brindle, will you accept this $5,000 reward?
$5,000? No, I will not.
Don't be stubborn, Mr. Brindle.
No,
here is your check. Take it.
No, I won't.
You won't take money? Why?
Last March, 99% of my income went into taxes.
But this $5,000...
That $5,000 puts me into the next bracket. I'll be paying 102%.
But you've got to. Us the People promised this reward.
But I'll be ruined, I tell you, anything but that.
Put down that microphone.
I won't.
Bat him, officer.
He hit himself over the head with a microphone.
Oh.
Good gad. Speak to me, Mr. Brindle. Say something.
Who am I?
Ladies and gentlemen, in less time than it takes you to say anti-disestablishmentarianism, we'll be saying our farewells. But first, we'd like to read a last-minute bulletin from many of the school teachers who have already locked up their chalk for the season. The bulletin reads...
Even though school is out for the summer, children, don't forget the daily health habits you learn during the year. And remember especially, every time you brush your teeth, always massage your gums, too.
And wise parents not only see that their children follow that sensible advice, but also follow it themselves by massaging their gums faithfully with Ipana toothpaste. Because so many dentists say...
Our gums do not get the exercise and stimulation they need from the soft, creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays.
And Ipana and massage help supply that stimulation. For that's what Ipana was designed to do, ladies and gentlemen. Not only to keep your teeth clean and sparkling, but when used with massage... to help give your gums the stimulation they need for firmness and health. That's one reason why so many dentists use Ipana themselves. As a matter of record, in a recent survey, more dentists said they personally use Ipana toothpaste than any other dentifrice of any type. Now make their choice your choice. Use Ipana toothpaste.
Well, this program brings to a close our season, ladies and gentlemen, and it also terminates our series for the sponsors of the Ipana and Salipatica programs. I would like to thank the Bristol-Myers Company for the kindness and cooperation extended to us during the long run our program has enjoyed under the company's sponsorship. And at this time, I would also like to thank my gallant band of co-workers, William Shaw, our program director, Arnold Auerbach and Herman Woke, my co-authors, Portland Harry, Von Zell, Peter... the Merrimacks, and all of the others who have helped so greatly in the presentation of our programs.
But most of all, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for, after all, your loyalty to our program and our products has made this series possible. On Wednesday night, October 2nd, we return to the air with a new program for Texaco. Until then, thank you for everything, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Fred, I don't have to tell you how happy our sponsors have been during your long association with them. You know that. So I'll just say how grateful we are for the many loyal friends you've made for IPANA and for Stalopatica, and how sincerely we hope for your continued success. I suppose you know, Fred, that in the fall, IPANA and Stalopatica are going to bring a new weekly program with that very popular comedy star, Eddie Cantor.
Well, I want to wish Eddie the best of everything, Harry. I know he'll put on a great program for you. Thank you, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, and good night. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we have a date at 9 o'clock a week from tonight when IPANA and Sal Hepatica will present the first of a new comedy series starring Abbott and Costello. The song You Can't Brush Me Off is from Louisiana Purchase. This is the National Broadcasting Company.